people. Well, well, well. Where do we begin with that one, right? Where do we begin with what we just saw? And I'll be honest, I was traveling yesterday, coming up from Atlanta and Charlotte to on business. And whoa, what a day it was. This is Chima from Chima Chess Foot. You are welcome to, I don't know if we're going to call this the unpacking session, but maybe a therapy session. Not for Liverpool fans, but for United fans and their supporters. I don't even know where to begin. Obviously, this is Chima from Chima Chats Foot. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I want to say that we've been growing as a channel and we've been growing as a network and we've been doing a lot of great things. And that all starts with the subscribers. So I want to thank you. Again, please subscribe on Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts, because we're going to get into it. And happy to have you all here with me. Liverpool 5, the artist formerly known as Manchester United, 0 at Old Trafford. In my life as a Liverpool supporter, going to Old Trafford almost always meant you were always happy to leave with a point, you know? And this is regardless of how good or bad of a season that that particular Liverpool team was having. Old Trafford was simply not a place that we could count on to play well. We just didn't play well there. And honestly, I had just come to accept it. So when we get to Old Trafford and we absolutely decimate them, it was expected in a way, because Manchester United are, I've always said, they're such an awful performing team. That they have great players, right? Bruno, Pogba, obviously Ronaldo, Mason Greenwood, Marcus Rashford. You know, Anthony Martial is a 50 million pound striker who can't get a game at the minute. You know, they have lots of talent, but boy, they were awful from the first minute. And the simple fact that Liverpool is in those magnificent cream colored kits, can we stop and talk about how nice those are? I'm thinking about grabbing one. I think after this game, just to memorialize what this is, I got to grab one. But anyways, we've never gone to Old Trafford in my recent memory and been 3-0 up within the first 30-40 minutes. It just didn't happen. This Liverpool team is on another level. We'll do our usual three: midfield, defense, attack. The midfield, it's kind of a throwback midfield, honestly. Henderson, Milner, Naby. Obviously, the Naby Keita is such a difficult player to analyze, because he was definitely at fault for the two goals in midweek in the Champions League versus Atletico Madrid. 100%. Sometimes he can lose his man, and sometimes he's very aggressive in the tackle when he shouldn't be, and other times when maybe he should put a little bit more bite in, he won't. And despite scoring a world-class goal, his two laps in judgment really just led people to believe and say, well, you know what? Is Naby what Liverpool need right now? And when you start asking those questions after someone has been at the club for 4 years with a 50 million pound plus fee to get him over here, it really, really just... And it provides for a stop-start type of career, which he's had, not to mention his absolutely awful injury record, if we're just being honest. But be that as it may, Naby is growing into himself more. That's multiple goals in his past couple of appearances. He is absolutely playing that. He's a midfielder, but he's the most advanced, if that makes sense. Henderson and Milner are kind of doing their thing, buzzing around, providing cover, getting in passing lanes and that type of thing. But we go in there, and within 8-9 minutes, 1-0, Naby scores. I'm like, man, this is awesome. Like, you know, more power to this. But man, the way that we simply just rolled them over from minute one, it was incredible. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has never been good enough to manage this club, right? It's the equivalent of your cousin working at a Fortune 500 company in the C-suite and then hiring you to be VP of sales when you have only worked at really, really small companies. It stinks of nepotism, right? if you're going to get a manager, people often talk about, well, Jurgen Klopp didn't win anything in his first, was it 2-3 years at Liverpool? He won 2 titles in Germany against Bayern Munich, who effectively are a combination of, for my American fans will get this, a combination of the Lakers, the New York Yankees, and the Cowboys all in one team. You know, that much economic resource, that much power, that much influence over the German league. He beat that team, that juggernaut, twice, and he's won a German Cup, multiple. So he brought titles with him, and he brought a pedigree. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has spent hundreds of millions of pounds. He's just been backed by the United Board, and that's kind of another thing. The United Board, it's a boys' club. It's a collection of, you know, look at Gary Neville, who was a respected pundit, but people are really, really giving him arrows right now due to the fact that he says, I can't criticize Ole because he's my friend. And it's like, I get it, but he is running this club into the ground. Anyways, we'll jump back into the game now, but it wasn't even a contest. I have never seen a Manchester United team be so clueless. I mean, you look at someone like Mo Salah, and I'm having a debate with one of my Chelsea friends. It's like, did you watch this man play? Every single one of his goals was just effortless. You know, Harry Maguire is absolutely on sixes and sevens. I've never rated Harry Maguire. I mean, 80 million pounds? That's what the Leicester fans were seeing. Like, thanks for giving us 80 million pounds for him. You know, like, thank you for securing our future for the next 25 years. We're going to be spending, you know, Leicester, we're going to be spending this money until 2050. He doesn't provide that sense of when Van Dijk is there, he's either yelling at you to get in place or he's marshaling the midfield. And it's not waving your hands around for talking's sake. If you've ever been on a football pitch before, you'll know that type of player who's always waving, always pointing, but it's like, hey, you do your job, right? The people who are doing that are so secure in their role that they're familiar enough with yours to help you. And they know what you're supposed to be doing and they know how to get you positioned. Harry Maguire wasn't giving that, as they say. I just felt like United lost their will. I've never seen a United team in a derby. The Northwest Derby is the biggest derby in football after the Clásico. And if you want to talk about ratings and significance, the Clásico happened yesterday and it was an afterthought to this. This is the biggest game in the biggest league with the biggest players, most competitive league. So it was shocking to see United simply have no idea how to cope with us. We were pressing them. Diogo Jota's there. And we have to talk about, and I know we're going to talk about the defense, then the attack, but you know, Jordan Henderson and Milner are just two old pros. You know, they've been there. They've done that. This isn't their first rodeo. They're fully aware of what it takes to win. And when Naby scores early, completely kills the crowd. And the toxic atmosphere, I'm going to start calling United Arsenal North. The toxic atmosphere at Manchester United right now is, it can be cut with a knife. It is so toxic up there because they're truly wondering, how can we get destroyed 5-0 at home? And it's kind of just something we have to accept now. To Liverpool, I'm assuming all of you are familiar with our rivalry, but there's one team, Manchester City, it's going to take about 100 more years of just life and relevance for Manchester City to actually be considered a rival of United. You get what I mean? They're just another team in Manchester. You want to beat them, don't get me wrong. But it's a little brother, big brother scenario, right? It's a little brother's maximum aspiration to be big brother just one day. And if big brother kind of comes through, he swats him and he goes about his day. Not really a huge significant thing. That's how City is. But with Liverpool, you had Alex Ferguson in attendance. Oh, man, look at that. But obviously, Naby was instrumental in points of play. I thought he played well. A couple dodgy moments, which he'll give you. But I like his ball carrying. I like the fact that he's a risk taker. I like the fact that he arrives in the box to facilitate the offensive play. I thought that was awesome. Moving on to the defense. Virgil was just doing his thing back there. You know, he was showing Maguire what it's like to lead from the back. He's winning aerial duels. He's cajoling people. He's getting them together. We got to talk about new boy, Ibrahimo Konate, Ibu. He's a baller. And the truth is, I love how Jurgen won't even let him play for the first half of the season. Because it's like, listen, he's 18, 19, 20, I believe, young. I just gave you three ages, but I believe he's about 20. And he is almost like a mini Van Dyke, right? Like one of those calm but strong and assured defenders who can actually play. He was zipping a couple passes a little bit, and I think that that's the future partnership. Joe Gomez, I've never been a huge Joe Gomez fan. I think that he's not Liverpool level. While very quick, I don't think he's the best in the air, and I've just seen too many defensive lapses when he comes on. I think he could be a great defender off the bench or right back, left back cover when we're trying to close things out, maybe with a lead. But, you know, if it's not Van Dijk and Matip, I'd like to see Van Dijk and Konate going forward. I thought he was really, really good. We got some vintage Trent. I mean, you know, this guy is piling up assists. I always say his range of passing, all these people want to move him to the midfield. His range of passing is something that you're just not going to be able to see on any other right back in world football. That's an unequivocal fact. I'm happy to state that. He is somebody who, it's the range of passing, but it's also the weight of passing, right? He knows how to drive that low pass to swerve around a defender and meet you in stride. He also knows how to kind of, that chip shot with backspin on it, like you're on the golf green, and it'll lay up, and it'll kind of roll back to you so you can run onto it. Trent, fantastic, an assist today. Thought he played great. Andy Robertson, Braveheart, was awesome. I think he's getting back to that good level. And one quick incident I got to talk about is when our friend Cristiano Ronaldo got out-muscled, out-thought, outplayed by 20-year-old Curtis Jones and decides to kick the ball. He's so lucky that he did kick the ball, but he kicked the ball when it was directly attached to Curtis Jones' stomach. Ugly scene. And here's the thing. He's showing passion, right? Passion. You know what I mean? That's what everybody wants. But I thought that was kind of disgraceful to see. It's like, look, man. I get it. You're the talisman for this team. You're getting smashed 5-0. You don't think Ronaldo hates United? Remember, Ronaldo is United DNA through and through. He remembers what it means. He remembers what it means to actually be part of Scholes, Beckham, Ferdinand, Vidic. These players were towering and iconic players in my mind because it was so hard to play against them. Ferguson absolutely had that team as just world beaters. You know, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, that's the easiest game against Manchester United that I've ever seen in my life. And I've been at this being a football obsessive since at least 2000. So, I mean, you do the math on that. You know, moving on now, but back to that incident. Ronaldo kicks Curtis Jones, and it was just like, are you serious, man? I get it, but that was weak. So all of a sudden, Robbo runs over there, puts his finger in his face and says, hey, you don't do that crap, man. I don't know what you're thinking about. Virgil comes over, puts his chest on Ronaldo, bounces him. Bruno comes out of nowhere and pushes Van Dijk from behind. And then Konate comes and kind of sends that little rat Bruno flying. So it's like, don't mess with us, man. Don't try that crap. All right. Take your 5-0 ass whipping and the last shred of your face that actually moves, Ronaldo, and get back to your side of the pitch, bro. You know what I mean? Like, no need to kick a 20-year-old because you're down 5-0 at home against your biggest rivals. Maybe, and again, right, I'm just the guy who podcasts. I'm not a football manager. Maybe you should talk to your manager to see what he could do to stop conceding goals and start scoring them. It's the basic principle of football, those two things. So if you see Chris, please pass that note along. The Chima has some ways that he can calm himself and be less disappointed in his team. Now, we are moving on to, I mean, the men of the hour. No Mane for this one. It was Firmino, Jota, and Salah. And they did what they had to do. Jota gets on the score sheet. I thought he was just dangerous throughout. Firmino is I think we're seeing a mini Firmino renaissance, right? It was always so popular. You know, I always say football Twitter is where you find 14-year-olds and people without jobs. They would mock how we would describe Firmino. They'd be like, oh no, Firmino's not a forward. He's a midfield defensive striker. You know what I mean? And it's like, all right, man, I get it, right? He's not a traditional number nine that only scores goals. But Firmino was pulling strings. He's running the show, right? Plenty of times him and Naby would link up, do nice little 1-2s, hold the ball up. A lot of the goals that you saw we scored, I think it's the third goal, there's a runner coming out on a late runner on the overlap on the wing, and we'll get it, and we'll simply tap it around the corner to him. This is where Trent found Jota. Trent blazes a crossover, inch perfect, and Jota and Milner are queuing up to score. Both of them could have scored. You get what I'm saying? So this was nothing short of a demolition job. You turn to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and it's 4-0, and he has the nerve to try and, like, wave his hands or communicate or do some tactics, and it's like, listen, this was the one of the most humiliating losses in Manchester United history, right? So that is something you really need to sit and analyze if you are the board over there at Old Trafford. Ole clearly has no idea what he's doing, and he hasn't for a while. So what do? You extended him. You doubled down. So the fact that he's a quote-unquote club legend, Chelsea, do you see what Chelsea did? I don't like Chelsea for many, many reasons, but they put profit before anything, which is, you know, I'm not going to tell you where to fall on that, but Frank Lampard is 10 times the legend that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is, maybe even 20. Chelsea as a club was only founded 15 years ago. They have very little history. It's John Terry, and it's Lamps. You know, they have Zola, they have a couple, Drogba, they have obviously a bunch of other legends too, but those are the two fans. Those are the two most legendary players at the club. They got rid of him. That team went on to win the Champions League. You have to think about that, people. That same Chelsea team went on to win the Champions League. The same players you had in like eighth place. There you go. That's the difference in a manager like Jurgen and someone like Ole, who is just happy to be there. Ole will never criticize the Glazers. Ole will never go against the board. He's a yes man. And he's easy to... It's similar to Jerry Jones with the Cowboys. Everyone that he employs, if you're familiar with American football, everyone that he employs is subordinate to him. He's the president, owner, and the general manager. Therefore, strong personalities in the front office, in the boardroom, in the head coaching position, they clash with his, and very, very often, he's not able to have them around for too long, despite their ability to positively impact the club. Great win. Mo Salah, my Chelsea my Chelsea friend that I was discussing the game with, he has a bit of an issue, and if he listens to this, he'll hear it. I'm trying to let him know that Mo Salah is doing things that are past the greats of the past that we're talking about. The only player to score an away hat trick in Old Trafford since R9, since the original Ronaldo for Brazil, Ronaldo de Lima, are you serious? Right? He is the highest scoring African player in the Premier League that used to belong to a man named Didier Drogba, who I have a lot of respect for. But he did it in 89 less games. And I'm assuming he has way more assists as well. You guys can check that if you want. So I'm trying to say, yo, as an influence on the Premier League, in my opinion, Salah's now surpassed Drogba's legacy in 89 less games. And he responds and he goes, well, Mo Salah is a system player. I said, well, what system can allow you to be the highest scoring African player in the Premier League, 2 Golden Boots, fans player of the year, writers player of the year, Mo Salah scored in 10 straight games. So that's 11 games for the record. That's Jamie Vardy. So he'll probably break that record too. Highest scoring African player, did it in 89 less games than Drogba, right? He's probably going to win the Golden Boot, maybe the league and the Champions League again this year. He's going to win one of those three this year. Why don't more teams just simply imply a system where you can get a 43 goals to break the all-time record? I think people have to get real with themselves here. And especially, I mean, from Chelsea's perspective, Mo Salah is greater than every player in your history besides John Terry and Frank Lampard. Sorry. Your club doesn't have the history to talk about Mo Salah that way, right? He is a generational talent. Isn't everyone getting tired of the statistics that say only Mo Salah has more? They'll be like, no player has scored more goals since 17-18 than Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Only Mo Salah has. This is a generational talent. This is a player that, to be honest, Liverpool needs to open up the checkbook and give him whatever he wants. I believe he already has, 20 goal assist contributions already in the year? I mean, what are we talking about? What system can allow a player to be that great? Is he as elegant on the ball as Cristiano Ronaldo? No, he's not. But what I am telling you is, go and look at the hard data. Like, Raheem Sterling in Pep's system, with that pass, do the Manchester City goal, back post, tap in. If you know football, you've seen them score that goal a bunch of times. That's a system player. And you could see when his abilities wane just a bit, as they have in Pep's eyes, he doesn't even play anymore, right? That's a system player. So I think that the notion of referring to Mo Salah as a system player, it just doesn't make sense. You know, he said that he'd rather take Mane because Mane did it without penalties. And it's like, okay, well, I could tell you haven't been watching Mane over the past 2 years. He's been nowhere near his own level, let alone Mo Salah. He brings up Lewandowski and Benzema. I said, listen, at the end of the day, Lewandowski scores 5 goals a game in the German Bundesliga, which is nowhere near the equivalent of the Prem. And then don't get me started to playing in Spain. Just different levels. Hardest league, best players, biggest budgets. So Lewandowski is, like I said, a generational talent, as is Benzema. But right now, the best player in the world, contrary to the Liverpool song, is not Bobby Firmino right now. But the best player in the world is Mo Salah. And failing to acknowledge that, in my opinion, is just denying reality, right? You tell me the only other player to get a hat trick at Old Trafford since the original Ronaldo. He's breaking records people didn't even know about. And it, you know, and that's the difference. So I had to give Mo Salah his flowers, man. We're witnessing, and everyone else, and as evidenced by talk like that, everybody else in the league is having a hard time understanding it. He's either a one-year wonder, or he's a system player, or he takes penalties, which is an asinine argument. It's like, okay, you know what I mean? But, you know, silverware talks, you know, I want him Golden Boot, League, Ballon d'Or, so maybe now people will realize that maybe it's not the system, maybe he's just the best player on the planet. Wanted to give you all that. I'm going to be coming back with a second pod soon. I'm going to be chatting with my buddy Tim, who is a fellow Red. We're going to break down Liverpool and really discuss and dissect what was really a groundbreaking day. It just gets better and better for us Reds. You saw the demise of Manchester United. We finished Mourinho. We got him sacked. And now I believe we're going to get Ole sacked. The difference is, I don't think that the Man United board or the Glazers have the cojones or the financial incentive to go out and get a big manager who will demand signings and who will demand the club run in a proper manner. So interesting to see. But of course, I'm looking forward to the demise of Manchester United, as I'm sure you all are as well, Reds. Okay, yeah, that was awesome. I wanted to get that off. It took me a day to collect myself, but Liverpool ripping and rolling all over Manchester United. 5-0, Mo Salah, best player in the world. Don't kid yourself. Liverpool are heating up in just the right way and just the right time. So we'll be back with more footy. I'm trying to figure out, did I get everything, people? You know what I mean? I have to shout out Jurgen. The away fans were awesome, singing Ollie's at the wheel at Old Trafford. These are the stories you're going to tell your kids about. I was there when we put 5 against Manchester United. I was going to attempt a Scouse accent there, but I'll spare you of that. But anyways, big up to all the Reds around the world, right? Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. This is Chima from Chima Chat's Foot. I'm going to love you and leave you. Liverpool 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. the artist formerly known as Manchester United 0. Come on, Liverpool.